name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Lord, today we have as our gospel passage and sermon text the beloved story of the Samaritan woman. The longest pericope in the Bible, 38 verses, coming out of meningitis, is because of my muscle you did, and I saw your ears trying to chant that entire gospel. And it has gripped, the story of the Samaritan woman has gripped the generations for 20 centuries. But I propose to you today that no generation has known this pericope, the story, more prominently than the baby boomer generation. And why is that? We had Peter, Paul, and Mary. Oh, Jesus met the woman at the well. Woman, where is your husband? I'm gonna go. Oh, this man must be a prophet. Peter told me everything I've ever done. So, Peter, Paul, and Mary brought the Bible to people who had never read it before. And it is truly a sacred story. It's the story of all of our conversions. That will be the point of this sermon. The sacred story of what it is unto evangelists. Because this woman became the first evangelist in the Bible. The first person ever to go into the world and say, I think this is the one. Come and see. And yet, curiously and sadly, no one ever named her. The gospel never tells us her name. So our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters filled in the gap in that tradition. But Faustina, they gave her name Faustina, which means resplendent and enlightened one. And they gave her the status of an apostle and a saint. So blessed be Faustina. So a little bit of context needs to be said, otherwise we wouldn't appreciate that in the ancient world, which would have been a dropping point of this gospel or characteristic, that Jesus broke two major barriers that would never have been broken in his day. Number one, he talked to a woman that was not of his blood, his family, his kin. And that would never have been done. And secondly, it wasn't only not just any woman, but a Samaritan woman. There was tremendous enmity between the Jews and the Samaritans. And we think that prejudice and bigotry and hatred are unique to our generation, as healthy as it is. No, it was alive and well in the Lord's generation. And those who bore the brunt of it, in many ways, were the Samaritans. The Samaritans had the same Jewish lineage. They had Jacob as well, the grandson of Abraham and Sarah. But they were the mixed breed of the day. They were all the way back to the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. Because of conquests, invasions, and occupations, they had intermarried with other cultures. So the Jews of Jerusalem looked at the Samaritans as being that impure. And so much so that faithful Jews traveling from Galilee to the temple feast in Jerusalem would often bypass the way other way, not to have to walk through and be contaminated, to walk through the people of Samaria. And also Samaria, those of the Samaria have great enmity and often hatred for the Jews. So they share the same religious faith, the same heritage. So there we were, Jesus at the height of the new hour comes to the well of Jacob. And this is a precious story because this is unique that we see the tired Jesus. He's weary, he's thirsty. He has no bucket or cup to draw. The disciples have gone into the town to buy food. Here, this is the one that has multiplied the food from 5,000 to 4,000. But he lived in the ordinary way. He was thirsty. And the Samaritan woman was there. And so he approaches her. He breaks that barrier to speak. And how beautiful it is that he breaks it in the way that Jesus did. He didn't say, I am Messiah, or, you know, I speak down to you. He came to assure his vulnerability, his own need. He was thirsty. He asked of her. He fell upon her oriental ancient sense of hospitality and courtesy and asked for water. reminded of the great Tallis hymn. He said that not wrath and power, but grace and peace to bring, in kindness as a king might send his son himself a king. And this love, he speaks to her. And she was shocked at that. And then there began this great dialogue about water and living water. I reminded Nicodemus last week, who just couldn't get out of the literal sense of things. But we would be no different. We're standing on this side of the resurrection. We have 2,000 years of hindsight to see through. We would have been the same. He's talking about water, and she's thinking about water too. And I'll give you water when you never thirst again. But somewhere along the line, unlike Nicodemus, it began to dawn on her. A light bulb, epiphany, conversion takes place in her mind. And he indeed has a supernatural insight into her life. Go, where's your husband? I have no husband. You're right. You've had 5 husbands. The one you have now is not your own. And by the way, we're the ones that reject all sorts of things from this passage. He never points a finger to whatever morality it was, because we don't know. He was simply allowing her to know that he knows about her life. How beautiful that is. And so she says, I perceive you are a prophet. And then she has this belief, and she goes to her town, and she says, the most beautiful way, he told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the one? Come and see. And I tell the point of the sermon today is the fact that this beautiful story gives us a definition, an illustration of what it is to be converted, and what it is, I'll use that word, to evangelize. This is our model. Of course, what it is to be converted. For her, she came into contact with the word of Jesus. And indeed, she was so lucky. She saw the physical Jesus. Can you imagine? And then, as he spoke to her, it wasn't just because he had that insight into her life, but somewhere along the line, the light bulb happened. She came to know, this is Messiah. What was that? My brothers and sisters, that's that revelation, the grace of God. St. Paul describes it as the Spirit of God converting spiritual thoughts to go with spiritual words. We see it illustrated with Peter, the first to acknowledge Jesus as Messiah. Remember that? Jesus says to the disciples, who am I? Peter said, you are Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Here it is. Flesh and blood have been revealed to you, but the Spirit of God. Whenever we are converted, use that word, with insight. It's not just us, it's a revelation from within. We have to believe. That's why you can't argue someone into believing. Not that you can't argue ourselves into believing. You can't just will it. We have to pray and allow the Holy Spirit's combined thoughts to go with the word. How beautiful that is. We think conversion happens 1,000 times in our life. It happened, we were converted first 2,000 years ago in the first of Friday, then in our baptism, then in our confirmation, every time we receive Holy Communion, every time we say in the name of Jesus, every time we walk toward God, that is conversion. And part of conversion is the Spirit of God wooing us. I love that. It woos us. It combines the thoughts with the Word. So if we worry about our faith, maybe the faith of someone we love. We don't argue, we pray. We pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds, as it did for Tina's life. And then, that was her conversion. Then how did she evangelize? How did she share her faith? Did she go to the town and say, I have something that you don't have? No. She'd go in an arrogant way to say, I can enlighten you. No, she too, like Jesus, was vulnerable. He told me everything I've ever done. This is just what happened to me. Do you want to come and see? How many people have come to know Jesus because someone simply said, you know, we have a guest preacher, a church son. Would you like to go with me? I read this book. You don't have to read it, but it touched me. Would you like to have it? Or just to tell our story about what Jesus did for us. That is evangelism. If the missionaries in our world could just have known that model, the model of the Samaritan woman, how blessed the church would be. And so it is our model of our own conversion, how we're to share our story. So Fatina, I call it Fatina, thank you. And may the Holy Spirit use the story of Fatina, the Samaritan woman, throughout our lives to help us love Jesus more dearly love